Dear brothers and sisters, what is the Lord trying to say to us through the scriptures today? The story from the first book of Samuel has always struck me. I can so easily imagine the scene where Samuel's there. He's coming to anoint the new king, and he sees all these older brothers of David, and he says, "Ah, this one, he looks pretty good. He looks pretty much like a king. I think this may be this one." And yet, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, hold on there, not that one. I haven't chosen that one. The Lord sees to the heart. He says, do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. I think this is so important for us as Christians. In some way, it flies in the face of what we see all around us and what our world really operates on. We, that is humanity, we see by appearances. We look at the externals. We are constantly sizing one another up, aren't we? We're looking at one another, making judgments, comparing ourselves. We measure our qualities against those around us. It's easy to do that. So easy. But this is not how God sees. He isn't fooled by our looks, by our posturing. He doesn't get taken in by our displays. He sees right to the heart. So often I find myself hiding my heart from God, or even from myself. I can so quickly begin to live in a false reality, one which I create. There's a movie that came out when I was, I think in college or maybe in high school, called Shallow Hal. It's about a guy who, in the beginning of the film, he pretty much goes around and makes judgments on people. He's a pretty shallow guy. That's the title of the movie. So he judges everyone by their appearance. He's always looking to get ahead. But his life is really pretty shallow. There's not much to it. And because of this lack of depth, he doesn't have any really good relationships in his life. During the film, he gets hypnotized at one point, and after this experience of being hypnotized, he basically gets this ability to see to the heart. He sees the heart of a person. And he loses interest in all the people that he formerly associated with, because they were all shallow people. And now he's interested in a different group of people who have a beautiful heart. The plot turns when the hypnosis wears off, and then he has to decide, how am I going to live now? Who am I going to follow? What am I going to do? Am I going to follow the shallow thing that on the outside looks good, or am I going to live by the appearances of the heart? How important is this lesson for us? Are we trying to be authentic in who we are, to show to people who we really are, and not some alternate virtual reality of who we make ourselves out to be, or what we want others to see? I think this is very hard in a world that constantly encourages us to attain some status or appear in a certain way. I think that's at the heart of much of the social media that we have today. A lot of good things right now, a lot of things that I'm doing are on social media, so thank goodness for it. But it can so easily become this thing where I create a mask of who I am that I live behind. We construct ourselves and show ourselves only in an airbrushed and perfect way. We're terrified that people would see who we really are, and if that happened, that they would not love us, they wouldn't like us, they wouldn't associate with us. It's a difficult way to live. We all want to be accepted for who we are. To put on an alternate identity is exhausting and not fulfilling. Why does God choose David? Because David is authentically himself. In today's reading, he's a youth, ruddy and handsome, but it wasn't these qualities that drew the Lord to him. It was David's heart that the Lord approved of. Here's a man who lived in an authentic way, no duplicity in him. We know that later, David will make many mistakes. He commits adultery. He murders. He's tempted to find solace and status in his wealth and his power. But in the end, he remains in relationship with the Lord and repents of his wrongdoings. In the gospel today, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And this long narrative plays with this theme of sight and blindness. On the one hand, you have the Pharisees who say they can see, And yet they are blind to see Jesus. They don't recognize him. Here is the Messiah right before them, and they don't see him for who he really is. Rather, they see a man who's a sinner. He healed on the Sabbath. They completely miss the boat. What good are all their religious practices if in the end, it doesn't help them see Jesus and recognize him for who he really is? They don't see the heart. On the other hand, we have the blind man who is touched by Jesus, and now he sees. He's not only able to see physically with his eyes, he's able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He says, this is what is so amazing. When he's speaking to the Pharisees, he's kind of going back and forth with them. He says, this is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he, that is Jesus, where he is from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. So he sees very clearly who Jesus is. The evangelist, John, today, is trying to help us reflect on how we see or we don't see. Are we the Pharisees who insist that we see rightly, but we are actually blind? Or do we admit that we are dependent on Jesus to see rightly, that we need to be touched by him in order to see? We need to be healed. God sees to the heart. How do we see? I think part of seeing the heart is being authentically ourselves and allowing our hearts to be seen. It is prudent, of course, to be able to protect ourselves, to be cautious who we let into our hearts. But it's utterly foolish and dissatisfying to think that we can have intimacy without seeing the hearts of others or without revealing our own heart. Our failure to be vulnerable, our need to always have control or create our own identity on our own merits or in a way that suits us, often seems to promise us that we can live on our own terms, by our own rules. But it ends up keeping us from attaining the very thing we desire, which is to see the heart and allow our hearts to be seen. In this time when we are coming to terms with the reality that so many of the things in our lives are not under our control, it may be good for us to reflect upon the fact that God sees the heart. What is he seeing in your heart?